God's power and looking at the healing power of God, God's desire to break into today and do amazing and wonderful things. In parallel with that, I'm going to look at the whole thing of faith. We started last week and I kind of described it as what I believe to be a journey of faith. And that's this journey that I want us to go on. I invite you to join us on a very exciting journey of faith. Because I think God wants to grow our faith individually and as a church, that God wants to take us from where we are and grow our faith. And so it's a journey. And as I read the Bible, one thing that strikes me is that faith seems to be essential. Absolutely essential. If I'm going to experience all the things that God has for me, if I'm going to experience the good things that I read in the Bible, that faith seems to be the thing that reaches up to heaven, gets hold of what's in heaven and brings it down to earth. Faith seems to be some kind of link, some kind of way. We looked last week at these things about it being this thing about grabbing up to the unseen realities. And we can learn a lot about God, we can read the Bible and get a lot of information, but it seems to be faith is key if I'm going to appropriate it, if I'm going to live it, if I'm going to experience it, if I'm going to personally benefit, if I'm going to move from information to actually living experience. Faith seems to be the thing. Faith seems to be so key in this whole thing. It seems to be not just a nice to have, but absolute essential. I came across one of the heroes of the early church, St. Augustine. He said this. He said, "There is no love without hope, no hope without love, and neither hope nor love without faith." So that early church hero, St. Augustine, putting faith there as foundational. There's something foundational about faith. The writer to the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, talks about the things that are foundational for the Christian life. We talk about six things. Talks about repentance. Talks about understanding God's judgment. Understanding the resurrection. But also he talks about, one little phrase there, one of the things, the six things it mentions as foundational in our Christian life is faith in God. So faith is foundational. Faith is absolutely foundational. Faith in Jesus. Well, whilst I'm saying it's simple and it's foundational, faith, I believe, is one of these multifaceted truths. As you look through the Bible, you start to think you understand something, and you find the Bible says more, and you realize perhaps I don't understand it as well as I thought I did. And as you look more, I think it kind of seems to be something almost beyond understanding. And surely the very truths of God are beyond understanding without the revelation of the Holy Spirit. As Paul explains to the Corinthian church, it must be spiritually understood. They're not just a kind of linear, logical kind of thing you can kind of put on a bit of paper. There's something multifaceted and beautiful about the very truths of God. And each week on our journey of faith, I want to kind of hold up a diamond, which is the truth of what faith is. And every week we'll seek to look at a different facet, a different face of what the Bible explains to be faith. So we get the full counsel of God. We don't just get part of the picture, think we've got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but we get the full counsel of God about what this stuff faith is. We saw last week that one of the facets of this of faith was that the Bible, Paul, the Apostle John, explaining his gospel that everyone has faith. The only question is, what are they going to put their faith in? And we saw last week about John was talking about putting faith in Jesus. This week we're going to turn the diamond round and have a look a little bit more at faith, another facet of faith. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we come to you today aware, Lord, that we're touching spiritual truths, spiritual realities. And as, Lord, you inspired Paul to write in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that these things are spiritually discerned, they're spiritually understood. They only come by revelation of your Holy Spirit. that even the greatest minds and professor of theology can't work them out without your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we come humbly to you today saying, Lord, please. Oh, Lord, please. We need your Holy Spirit. We need his illumination. We need his power. We need him to show us and teach us. We want to understand the beautiful, beautiful truth in your Bible of faith. What it means to have faith, growing faith, know what it is. And to use faith, Lord. Help us, Lord, today. We're coming to you, Lord. We're coming to you asking for help. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just be still for a moment. I just get a sense that God wants just to start us off in the right direction, stilling our hearts this morning for his revelation. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we submit ourselves, Lord, to you today. Acknowledging that we don't know it, but you do. And asking, Lord, that you would teach us, oh God. Amen. Way back in 1966, when I was a mere 6 years old, there was a Hindu man, a holy man, in India, in Bombay, called Rayo. Some of you may not remember that. And for a brief time, he was famous because this old mystic believed he could walk on water. And he was so confident in his own spiritual power that he announced he would perform the spiritual feat live to an audience. So a crowd of 600 assembled in a large garden with a deep swimming pool. The white-bearded yogi appeared in flowing robes and stepped confidently to the edge of the pool. He paused to pray silently. A reverent hush fell on the crowd. Rayo opened his eyes, looked heavenward, boldly stepped forward. With an awkward splash, he disappeared beneath the water. Spluttering and red-faced, the holy man struggled to pull himself out of the water. Trembling with rage, he shook his finger at the silent, embarrassed crowd. One of you, he shouted, one of you is an unbeliever. The mystic demanded faith from his audience, clearly misplaced faith. They come to watch him exercise his faith in his own spiritual powers. Of course, were disappointed when it turned out to be a flop. He blamed the audience for his failure to walk on water. Now, God asks us to put our faith in him. Thankfully, far more dependable than putting faith in Rayo. Woody Allen, the well-known comedian, he said that he would believe in God if God would send him a sign, such as making a large deposit in a bank account under the name Woody Allen. We're going to see today that faith is something commanded by God. God commands us, God commands all people, God commands people to have faith. He doesn't need to prove himself to Woody Allen, or to you, or to me. We're not in the position of being able to say, God, I will believe if you do this. Because by virtue of being God, he can command that we, his creatures, have faith and trust in him. This is what the Apostle John writes in the book of 1 John. And this is his command. To believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus encapsulating the majesty, encapsulating the personality, encapsulating the amazing character of Jesus. And this is the command of God. This is God's command to us as followers and to everyone is to believe, to have faith. To believe, to have faith in the name of Jesus. To put our full trust wholeheartedly in the person of Jesus. John, in his gospel, writes this. He said, trust in God, God the Father. Trust also in me, God the Son. And there's a sense of Jesus telling his followers, this is what you must do. This is the very command of God, is to have faith in God. After a very severe ice storm, an atheist called his insurance agent because a tree from his property had fallen over and smashed into the roof of his neighbor's house. So he phoned the insurance agency to make sure he was covered by the accident. The insurance agent thrust the ardent atheist onto the sharp horns of a dilemma. This is what the insurance person said. If the tree was dead prior to the storm, we cannot cover the damages, and you will have to pay for the repairs. If the tree fell due to an act of God, then the policy will take care of all your expenses. On that cold day, the old atheist embraced faith as he decided that God existed after all, and that the storm was indeed what the insurance industry called an act of God. Jesus preached a message of faith. This is the message that Jesus preached, recorded in the book of Mark. Jesus said this, "The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus, an imperative to repent, to turn and believe, to have faith, to trust with our whole personality. That's the message that Jesus brought, is to have faith, to believe. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he went around with the commission that God gave him, and talking about his commission, this is what Paul said in the book of Acts about his work. "I have declared," this is Paul reflecting on his missionary work, "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus." So there's two things they must do. Covering Jews, Gentiles, covering us all there, that they must, two things. One, turn to God in repentance, and secondly, they have faith in the Lord Jesus. And so Paul's message was a message that they must. John, the Apostle John, said the command of God is to believe in the name of Jesus. The message of Jesus was to repent and believe. And Paul's message that he went throughout the civilized world at that time was this, was that they must repent, turn, change their lives, and have faith. They must believe. You see, the thing about faith is it's a command. One of the facets of faith, as we look at this multifaceted thing, one of the elements of it that strikes you again and again as you read through the Bible is that faith, it's a command to have faith, to believe and to trust. That all creatures, all those made by God, are commanded to have faith, to put trust in Jesus. Many religious people, they say, "Well, what can I do? God, what do you want me to do?" There's an element in those that are religious of wanting to do something. And Jesus says something very interesting, which John records in his gospel. In John 6, they ask Jesus, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Many people can think that. What does God want me to do? For religious people, maybe trying to please God, maybe trying to earn their way to heaven, maybe trying to do something that could impress or do something that can earn some kind of way with God. Jesus answered this, and it's a most remarkable answer. Jesus, "The work of God is this, to believe." To believe. The thing that God wants us to do is not to do, it's to believe. It's to choose to put that faith. We looked at last week about how everyone's got faith. It's just a question of what you put it in. And the command of God is to put faith in Jesus. And that's the message of the good news. That's the message that Jesus had. To believe. And a couple of other just scriptures I wanted just to mention was the one in Hebrews, where the writer of the Hebrews says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. There's nothing I could do that would satisfy God. Faith is absolutely essential." Faith is that trust that, remember we said last week about this thing about sitting on a chair, lifting my feet off the ground and putting the whole weight of my personality onto something. That's what faith is, putting all my trust on to God. And then Paul writing to the church in Rome, everything that does not come from faith is sin. Because what Paul's saying is that unless my actions, unless what flows out of my life comes from trusting God, I'm then trusting in myself. And that doesn't impress God. Because God's made us, the way God's made us, we're creatures, He's creator. The way God's made it to plug together, the only way it's going to work is if I don't trust in myself, but trust in God. And so that's what Paul wants to say to us. One thing I really believe is that when God commands something, that if God commands something, God doesn't just command it and then we can't do it. If God commands something, we may not be able to do it with our determination, our grit, and our kind of human effort, but we sure can do it with God's enabling power, with humility, with asking God to enable us to do whatever He's commanding to do. So if God's commanding us to have faith, if the command of God is to have faith, then because God commands it, it's possible to do it with God's help, with God's strength. That lovely word grace in the Bible, that fantastic word grace, which simply means God giving me the ability, the divine enabling to do what He's asking me to do. So if God's saying have faith, I can have faith because He's going to give me the ability to do that, to put my faith in Him. In the mid-19th century, a famous scientist, Huxley, Professor Huxley, he was agnostic, not a Christian. He was traveling around with a devout Christian. They were going from place to place. One Sunday, they were staying in a town. And Huxley, not a Christian, asked this Christian who was traveling with, he said, please don't go to church today. Please stay at home and tell me about your Christian beliefs. And so the Christian told Huxley the story of his conversion, how he got saved, how God worked remarkably in his life, and all that Christ meant to him. As he talked, the eyes of Huxley, this famous agnostic, filled with tears. He said, I would give my right hand if I could believe that. But I can't. The great intellect reckoned I can't believe. Actually, I think Huxley was meaning I choose not to believe. See, Huxley had a lot, he was a great friend of Darwin at the time, and there was a lot stacked up, a lot of reasons why he shouldn't trust God, why he shouldn't turn to God. Last week we saw everyone has faith, it's just a question of whom we put our faith in. This week, I just want us to really focus on the fact that it's a command of God. Faith is a command. There's a church building. If you go up to Glasgow and you're kind of looking in the area of Glasgow, you'll come across a church building called the Harper Memorial Church, which you can go and look around. Named after the founder, John Harper. He was a Baptist minister, famous preacher at the time, and he was invited by the Moody Church in Chicago in 1911 to go over and conduct a revival meeting. He went over to America, had a fantastic time, came back to Glasgow. The next spring, they said, come again. So on the April 11th, 1912, Harper boarded the SS Titanic on the way back to Moody Church. Of course, what happened, it hit an iceberg. And when the ship's fate became obvious and the fact it was sinking, he ran around on the ship. He started shouting, women, children, and the unsaved into lifeboats first. He then took off his own life jacket and gave it to another man. A man who was later saved by another ship gave a detailed account of what happened to this man, John Harper. He saw him struggling to stay afloat in the water as the ship was sinking. And the minister called out in the dark to another man saying, are you saved? The man said, no. Harper then quoted Acts 15:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. The survivor gave no response and soon the wave separated the two men. But shortly after, the currents brought them together again. And Harper repeated the question, are you saved? The man said, no, I honestly say I'm not. Again, he quoted from Acts. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Not long after that, he sank to his death, Harper. And this man who'd encountered the sheer strength of Harper's unfailing faith said this: "Alone in the night, with 2 miles of water beneath me, I believed. I am John Harper's last convert." See, that man struggling to stay alive, he chose to believe. You might say, well, he was in a bit of a desperate situation, so, but nevertheless, he chose. He made the decision. Maybe with Huxley, there were too many things he didn't want to have to recant off, change, or face up to, whatever, but he chose not to believe. And I just want to really, one of the aspects of faith is the choice element. It's a command. Next week, we're going to look at faith as the gift of God. So what we're talking about this week, it's one facet. And so it's only week by week as we look at the different facets of faith that we get the whole picture. And so it's true to say faith, we're commanded to believe. And it's true to say that faith is a choice. But there's other facets and other elements of faith that we're going to get to look at, to get the whole kind of picture. But only as we look at one and then turn it around, look at the beauty of one facet, turn it around, look at the beauty of the other, do we get the whole picture. But he chose to believe. Now, the scope of these commands of God to believe are not just limited to those who are not Christians and therefore command to believe, but they extend to all Christians everywhere. Because in a sense, faith gets us into God's kingdom. Faith is the way we walk once we're inside God's kingdom as part of God's family. And looking through, if you look through the Bible, what you find is a whole series of statements. In the church in Corinth, Paul said to the Christians there to excel in everything. He told them to excel in faith. The church in Colossae, he said, continue in your faith. He wanted them to continue in it, not just to sort of let it go. Romans, Abraham is highlighted as someone who was strengthened in his faith. In other words, his faith was strengthened. It wasn't something that he used to have before he believed in God, but he was continuing in it, and he was strengthened in it. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is saying there to the church in Corinth, tell them to stand firm in the faith that they've got, that they believe in, stand firm in it. And in Hebrews 11, it talks about these people, these heroes of old, these Christians who were persecuted, and it says that they're commended for their faith. So there's an ongoing requirement for you and I, as those followers of Jesus, there's an ongoing command to believe. It is about people becoming Christians, but also it's about my ongoing walk with Jesus. Is that it's not really kind of an optional extra. Faith isn't the kind of bolt-on nice to have for us as Christians. But actually, a walk of faith and a life of faith actually is the command of God for you and I as followers of Jesus. There's a story about a small town in America that for years had been a dry town. No alcohol was sold in that town. And what happened was that someone came to the town and decided to build a bar, a pub in the town. So some of the Christians from a local church got together and prayed all night that God would stop it. Somehow God would do something. And that night, amazingly, lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. The owner of the bar took the church to court and sued them, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. But the church hired a lawyer. Praise God for lawyers. To protect them from their liability, saying they were not responsible. After his initial review of the case, the judge said this: "No matter how the case comes out, one thing is clear. The bar owner has faith in God. The Christians do not." And you see, as followers of Jesus, it's a command, it's an irresponsibility to continue in this faith. So the faith that got me in, I can't then relax and say, oh, that was hard getting into the kingdom of God, and I can put my feet up. But actually, it's about a continued walk of faith. And it's about growing in faith. And it's about maturing in faith, being strengthened in faith, standing firm in faith, excelling in faith, all the things that we just saw. And so there's a journey for us. And this morning I wanted to stir you, whet our appetite together, to see that this faith stuff is something which some of us find challenging. Some of us find very challenging, thinking, well, our lives, particularly here in the West, in London, life's very controlled, and it's all very kind of boxed, and kind of, in a sense, you can get by without faith, because there's lots of kind of props and supports and things around that can kind of hold our lives together. But I feel God is stirring us to see that actually the command of God is that we would be those who grow in faith. We would move forward in faith. That wherever we are now, say, God, I want to move forward in my faith. I want to grow in my faith. I wonder if you can turn to Mark 9. If you've got a Bible today, I wonder if you can turn to Mark 9. Because I just want to look at a passage that I think will help us today. In Mark chapter 9, this is a story in Mark chapter 9 of when Jesus had been to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration where he was transfigured. When Jesus came down the Mount of Transfiguration, if you remember the story, what happened was Jesus came down, and when he came down, he found his disciples arguing. There was a man there who'd brought his son to Jesus to be healed. And when Jesus came down, the disciples were arguing. It was a bit of a crowd was coming. It was not really working out very, very good. And the disciples had been trying to heal this son with the power of Jesus, but had been not kind of getting it working out. And so Jesus came, and there's this kind of bit of fracas going on. Jesus walks in to this situation. And Jesus asked the boy's father, when he sees this child ill, he says, how long has the child been like this? He asked him. And the man says, from childhood. And the man said, it's often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. If you can do anything, take pity on us and help him. Let's look at these words. The man said to Jesus, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Now, it's a very interesting passage, this, in the book of Mark, that Mark recounts for us. Because what happened was, you see, the man had faith. Why would he bring his sick child to Jesus in the first place if he didn't have faith? He wouldn't have just brought him because we thought, well, see, you know, this would work. I happen to be there. He brought the child. He was desperate. This man was desperate for his son to be healed. He heard about what Jesus had been doing, so thought, Jesus can do something to help me. So he brought Jesus along. When he brought Jesus, we brought the son to where Jesus wasn't there because Jesus was up the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples then tried to heal this guy, and they couldn't. And later on, Jesus said, it's because Jesus said, this kind of evil spirit only comes out with prayer. And there was some element that Jesus wanted to teach the disciples something out of this. But we won't look at that this morning, because that's a separate issue. But the thing was that the disciples couldn't help. And so this man started to get frustrated that he brought this guy, his son, to Jesus, believing, trusting Jesus could do something, and then it looked like it wasn't going to work. And so when Jesus came down the mountain, saw what was happening, Jesus wanted to find out what's happening. So he asked questions about, you know, what is this happening here with this guy? What's the situation? And he started to explain what's happened. Now, you see, the man had brought the child to Jesus in faith. Otherwise, he would not have brought him there. But you see what he says to Jesus. The man says, if you can do anything. So his confidence has ebbed somewhat. The man's confidence. If, maybe you can, maybe you can't. Jesus, what, you know, can, you know, what? So he'd gone, his man's faith had gone from coming to bring the child to get healed to, well, Jesus, do you think you can do anything about this? Because your disciples can't. And so Jesus challenges his faith. And this is the wonderful thing to see what happens. Because Jesus picks out the phrase, if you can. So Jesus, listen to what he said. What do you mean, if you can? And then Jesus turns the whole thing around. He says, everything is possible to him who believes. You mean, because faith is the key to everything. Faith is the key to everything. Immediately the boy's father said, and this is a lovely, do you see, the thing that's most wonderful here is that the boy's father said this, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. You see, he'd come full of faith, being disappointed. And so his kind of faith had kind of sunk to his boots. And so he said, well, if, what can you do, Jesus? And Jesus said, I can do something here. Everything is possible for him who believes. Now, you see, what Jesus did, Jesus went on to heal the boy. Jesus didn't say to this guy, your faith's down in your boots. Go away and come back again. Or like Rayo in the story at the beginning, somewhere in this crowd, there's an unbeliever. Because what Jesus did is that Jesus recognized that this guy was being honest. You see his response? I do believe. I wouldn't have brought him here if I didn't believe. But, help me overcome. He's admitting the fact that he's got in his mind a trust in Jesus, but there's some unbelief there. There's a humility. There's an honesty. He didn't just try and pretend or fudge or say to Jesus, I've got lots of faith. He didn't. And I'm sure the reason why Jesus' power moved in that place was this guy's honesty. Was he was just honest with Jesus. He said, this is the situation. Help me overcome my unbelief. And Jesus did. Jesus healed the guy. Jesus did what he promised to do. And I think it's so encouraging for us this, because if you've been walking the Christian life for any number of months, years, what you find is sometimes you come to Jesus and he's not there, he's up the Mount of Transfiguration. He doesn't actually turn up when you planned or wanted him to come for whatever reason. But that doesn't spoil and doesn't mean Jesus' plan ultimately won't work out. Because when Jesus came down the mountain, the whole thing kind of flowed. But what it does help us is that if there's something that we've come to Jesus with a situation, an issue in our life, issue in our family, issue in our friends, something, some issue in our lives, we've come to Jesus and Jesus hasn't done it when we've wanted it, how we've thought he should do it. Then my faith has kind of dipped. I thought, oh, Jesus, you kind of let me down. This guy felt about the disciples. They let me down. They didn't kind of do it. But then when Jesus turns up, Jesus says this, everything is possible for him who trusts, believes, has faith. It's all the same thing. And this guy was honest. I feel God wants us to be honest. Not say, I've got a super duper faith. You know, I look at me, I'm a kind of faith-filled person. But you wouldn't be sat here today if you didn't have faith. As we said last week, we didn't come for the architecture. That you're here because you believe Jesus can do something in your life, in your family, in your friends. You're here because you believe. But to be honest, for some of us have been waiting for issues in our lives. We do believe, but there's some unbelief has crept in to my heart. In certain issues, certain topics, certain things, certain situations. And if this morning I come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I do believe, otherwise I would not be here. I'm here because I believe. But help me overcome my unbelief. Because I want to see your power. I want to see you come and do these things in my family, in my life, in my finances, in my relationships. God. And as we do, as we come in humility and openness and honesty, then that gives the opportunity for Jesus to come and to do all that he wants to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Lord, we are here today because we believe. That's the reason we're in this hall this morning. Lord, it's because we believe. But Lord, for some of us, we're also aware that in our hearts, there is an unbelief. There is something crept in. And Lord, we're asking today that you would forgive us where we have not trusted you, that you would wash us and cleanse us and free us from the sin of unbelief where we haven't trusted you. And Lord, sorry if we tried to force you into a box and expect you to do things when we want and how we want and call that faith. Lord, we're sorry. Lord, we want to ask. We want to just simply come to you as this man came to you and trust in you and your goodness and come to you and say, God, in your time, in your way, how you want, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I believe, God. Help me. Lord God. Lord, we stand before you, God. We stand before you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What would have happened, I wonder, if that guy had not been honest with Jesus about where he was up to? I don't know whether Jesus would have just had to pass on by or just do something, heal somebody else. I don't know. But, you know, I feel there's a key here about openness and honesty with God, about where I'm up to and what's in my heart. And that somehow that releases the grace of God. Somehow that releases the ability to believe afresh, to trust in a fresh way, to strengthen my faith. Jesus. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would reveal to our minds this morning, remind us of situations, Lord, where we trusted you, but then, Lord, unbelief has come in and we no longer trust you and we're kind of torn a bit. Bring to our mind, Lord, those areas that you want to come and do something wonderful, powerful. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together, shall we? And this is a personal thing between you and Jesus. And so admitting my unbelief is between me and Jesus. I'm saying, Jesus, forgive me for my unbelief in this particular area. I do believe. Help me today. Thank you, Lord.
Just while we've got our eyes on the Lord, I had a dream this week, and the Lord has so spoken to me through it. Very simple. I saw a plant that I was planting, as it were, and it was a really healthy, good plant. But I was putting it into awful soil, and I knew that it was awful. It was like into sandy soil, and when you plant a plant, you put it into this rich, fertile stuff that you buy from the nurseries, you know, that's got all the nutrients in it. And I shared this with Nick, and he said immediately to me, always the soil is our hearts. And this word, you know, his word is so perfect. This plant was so good, but the soil was so poor. And I knew it was unbelief, this whole issue of unbelief in my heart, and how God is dealing with this with us, and he wants us to be honest. And I just felt I wanted to share that we need this soil to change. We need to change. So that as his word, his perfect, powerful word comes, it's able to thrive in our lives rather than wither away. And I just wanted to share that. Could we have sung the song that we were singing, this one we bowed down, and just really acknowledge Jesus, his power, what he is wanting to do, and our need to receive that word into our hearts. We sing it at the beginning, and it doesn't matter how many times we sing it, you know, we need to receive and receive. About 3 weeks ago, I was at the front here, and I had such a meeting with Jesus at the end of the meeting. I was so changed by the end of that meeting, and a situation in our lives, which is impossible that we're facing, has started to change. And it was because he was meeting with me, and it would just be so wonderful to reach out and to let him come, like Paul's talked about, and to change the soil so that we have a good soil to receive his word.
We haven't got the words for this song, but we learnt them earlier, didn't we? We bow down and confess he is Lord in this place. As we sing this one, let's remember that faith comes through Jesus. In Acts, it talks about the man who got healed at the gate, beautiful, and it's Peter and John. They say that this man, through the faith that comes through Jesus, that in one sense, there's no better place to find faith than in the presence of Jesus. That as we fellowship with him and fellowship in his word, faith will flow into our hearts. But I believe God's spoken about unbelief, about us confessing our unbelief, as Paul's talked about, the disobedience. It talks about the evil heart of unbelief. And we need to confess that evil heart of unbelief, that if we're full of cynicism and negativity, we need to say, God, this is how I am. Help my unbelief. And the blood of Jesus will wash us from our sin, and the Holy Spirit will help us through the faith that comes from Jesus Christ into a deeper place of faith in him. So let's worship him and fellowship with him, and let him speak to us as we sing this song.